You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's going viral.
What is?
Joey, one of our listeners, tweets, I will donate $100 to Children's Hospital in Steve Mason's name if he shows up for work tomorrow.
Do it for the kids, Mace.
Yes, do it for the kids.
Oh, this isn't even fair.
$130 mythical dollars and for the kids.
This isn't even fair.
$130,000 mythical dollars.
Well, if you look, here's the thing. I will replace that donation if I don't come in tomorrow.
All right. We'll see if it catches on. Boy, a bunch more people testing positive now.
Today
Robert
I saw
Sala,
on NBA
Sir-
Today they're up to like 63 in the NBA.
Yeah, two NFL coaches in the last couple hours. Nick Sirianni of the Eagles, Robert Sala of the Jets, Luka Doncic going into the protocol. So a lot of people out there going.
I wonder what's going to happen on Christmas Day now, because right now Harden and Durant are in protocol, right?
Yeah, and
I heard on NBA Today that there's a chance that Harden will be out in time for the game,
right? And maybe Durant too. But I think they're going to play. I think that it's such a showcase day for the NBA that even if they have to fill the rosters with lesser known names, I think they're still going to play. I'd be very surprised if they don't.
So last night, Talen Horton Tucker and Isaiah Thomas combined to go 1 for 100 from the field.
Almost. Like 1 for 25, more like it.
Oh, it was friggin' brutal. It was friggin' brutal. And at some point, don't you stop shooting? At some point, don't you say, all right, it's
Well, most people around the NBA tell me that shooters shoot. The question I think that's fair to ask is, at some point, do you take them out? You know, do you let them continue to just fire away even though they don't have their shots?
Well, and you don't have a lot of options, right? You've got a limited set of options available to you.
Right. And you had four guys on the COVID list. You have Anthony Davis out. Frank Vogel wasn't even there. Frank Vogel was on the health and safety protocol list. So, I mean, David Fizdale, who was coaching last night, had limited options to go to. And so at the end of the day, he just had to hope that one of those guys found their shot. Talen Horton Tucker finished 1 of 13, 0 of 8 from 3. Isaiah Thomas finished 1 of 11, 0 of 6 from 3.
My God.
And on a night where you're playing Phoenix, who had the best record in the NBA, you can't have two guys do that. You know, it's hard enough to do it if one guy does that. The Suns really weren't hitting their threes, at least not early. They finished up hitting 12 of 41. But the Lakers were even worse than Phoenix. They hit 7 of 35.
Here's what struck me from that game last night. The Suns went to the finals last year.
Right.
And they have the same... They've added JaVale McGee, but for the most part, that's the same roster.
Same group, yeah. Landry Shamet's new, but it's basically the same core rotation guys.
Why do they have the same stuff every year, and we just turn everything over and bring in an entire new cast of people to try to figure out how to play together?
Well, it's a fair question. I think what the Lakers did was they looked at LeBron's window, and they said, we've got LeBron for 2 more years. The group we had last year couldn't get out of the first round. Do we need to be aggressive and change it up to maximize LeBron's title window? So first year LeBron was here, he got hurt. They didn't make the playoffs. The second year they won the title. Third year they go out in the first round, and they know they've got him for 2 more. I think that answers your question. I think that's why they didn't just stand pat, because they went out in the first round last year and they were reacting to that.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and I think...
Would you have just come back with the same group that went out in the first round?
I would have held together the group that we had in the championship year.
Right, from last year. But I mean, last year...
From the 2020 season, from the bubble year.
They brought back everybody from the championship team and let them go at it again last year. And last year they went out in the first round.
I mean, I just look at it and think, I don't see, and I, again, they're limited and they're missing guys and Vogel's not there. But I don't see the makings of a championship team there. We're 16-16. I don't see it. And LeBron, and I assume the ankle's okay. He just tweaked the ankle as opposed to rolled the ankle.
Yeah, it was quick. He stayed out there and played. LeBron has been great.
But LeBron has played is averaging the second most minutes per game in the league, and he's turning 37 this month. I just think by the time we get to the...
He's turning 37 in a week, in eight days.
By the time we get to a postseason, by the time we get to April, LeBron, I mean, there's just... He's going to be gassed, man. He is going to be gassed because right now... As LeBron goes, they go.
I don't know.
You really disagree with that? As LeBron goes, they go.
Well, here's where I would disagree with it.
We don't have Anthony Davis right now. As LeBron goes, they go.
So, using your logic, last night LeBron played a pretty spectacular game.
He did.
34 points on 13 of 19 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Finished with 34-7-7.
Yes.
Well, according to you, if LeBron does that, we win, right? As LeBron goes, we
go. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying even when LeBron goes off, we don't have enough.
But look at the last three games. LeBron's gone off in all three, and the Lakers haven't won.
Well, this is discouraging.
Right.
In other words, LeBron is not enough to win games.
Correct. He has to get help. And so... What I at the start of the season, I said there's two things that the Lakers competing for a championship kind of hinge on. One is injuries, and two is they got to play defense. And they're somewhat related in that Anthony Davis is the best defensive player they have. So once he went down with an injury, now it's on LeBron and Westbrook and the rest of these guys to figure out how to win without AD and how to play defense, and they just haven't done it yet.
See, they don't play defense. And I've said this before. I don't think they have players who are good at defense. AD is. But, I mean, if you look at – they don't have a lot of plus defenders on this team aside from – I mean, Carmelo's not going to defend. Trevor Ariza has historically been a good defender, but
– although he was really good last night.
He's in his age 36 season, I think.
Right.
Bazemore plays a little Malik Monk plays no defense. Avery Bradley is, I think,
an overrated
defender. Well,
the last
three
names you mentioned are all on the COVID list.
Yeah, so but what I'm saying is we don't have guys who are good at defense, so how can we expect them to play good defense?
Well, I think that if Frank Vogel was on with us right now, he would say, because 2 years ago you could say the same thing about that roster, and those guys were the number one rated defensive team in the league.
But entirely different roster.
Who are the guys that you would say are great at defense? Caruso is pretty good.
Caruso KCP, was very good.
KCP was very good. Well, I
KCP
mean, it's not,
was a very good wing defender.
It's not like that either one of them were on the all-defense
Kuzma
team.
Developed into a really good defender.
Right, but, I mean, the knock on Kuz when he came up was he didn't defend anybody. He got
better. But figured out how.
So why can't these guys do that?
Because they're older. They're
some
older.
It's not. All,
Carmelo's not going to wake up one day and say, I'm a stopper.
But
that's not going to happen.
THT could, if you want to.
Wayne Ellington isn't all of a sudden going
to
be an A-plus defender. He's never been.
Dwight Howard's still pretty good at defense, even though he's older. But here's the thing. Without those two things, without a healthy roster and a team committed to defense, then they're probably not going to compete for a title anyway. So you've got to check those two boxes. And right now, you're not healthy. Like last night, that was the Suns at full strength against the Lakers at anything but. So the Lakers got to, first of all, they got to get all these guys off the COVID list. And second of all, they got to get Anthony Davis back. Now, Mace, the thing that's interesting is can they, right now, I think it with their 16-16 record, I think they're seventh. And they would
They're in the seventh seed right now.
So they would be in the play-in tournament.
They'd play, if it stopped today, they'd play Sacramento in a one game to get in.
Okay. If Anthony Davis has to miss more than a month, which, by the way, is not only possible, but maybe even probable. They said they're going to examine him in 4 weeks.
Not that he's going to be healthy in 4 weeks.
Correct. So let's say you miss him for 5 to 6 weeks. Can you stay in one of those play-in slots?
That's the problem. I don't know that you can. I don't know that this team, the way it's built, without Anthony Davis for, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks, I don't know that we make the playoffs.
I think they do, but they have to defend. They have to defend. And they've got the right coach. Frank Vogel is, like, committed to defense, but the coach can only tell you what to do. The players have to do it.
But at some point, we got to say, this team just isn't well constructed. It's just not.
Yeah, but you can't say it about the game last night just because it happened.
No, not last night. I'm just saying, I've seen them now for, what, 32 games?
They got 50 left.
Yeah, I've seen them for 32 games. This team is not well constructed.
Well, it doesn't look like it so far, but they've got 50 games left. I mean, this team is never going to be judged on what they do in the regular season anyway. But,
I mean, we're talking about whether or not they make the playoffs.
Right. So let's see if they do. I don't think they have a lot of options to, you know, they can make a lot of calls about trades.
I don't think they have options.
They do, but it's not.
I mean, they could move Talen Horton-Tucker. That's a possibility.
Right. But I don't think they can move any of the big three.
I think they could move Westbrook.
To who?
I don't know what the market is for him.
Right. I was going to say to who.
But, I mean, I don't see the, you know, there's the.
You know, I'm Russ's biggest fan. I'm Russ's biggest fan.
The whole of its parts? Is that an expression?
So you're talking to the number one Russell Westbrook fan in the league, me.
Yes.
And that contract is, I think, untradeable. I mean, if
you think it's so onerous, nobody would trade for it. What about Ben Simmons?
$44 million this year, $45 million next year.
What about Ben Simmons? You can't talk about
that. You think
Daryl
would do that?
Well, he's not getting much out of Simmons.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I love Russ. So now the one thing I'll say about Russ, his numbers are better than most people. Like, everybody points the finger at him as the problem. I think the problem is defense, but everyone points the finger at Russ.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Russ is not a good defender.
He's not a bad defender, but here's the problem with Russ. And I love him because he's aggressive and he attacks and he always gives you your money's worth. If you're a fan or a coach or a teammate, he's just the guy plays hard all the time. The turnovers are killing him.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
The league in turnovers. And you're going to get some of that because he's aggressive with the ball, but he's got to dial those back. Even me, as the world's biggest Westbrook fan, sees some of these turnovers and goes, man, he didn't need to try that. He didn't need to try and thread a pass in between, you know, three different sets of arms. And so every once in a while he pulls it off. Like, at least once a game I'll say, that is an unbelievable pass by Westbrook. But if it takes you four tries to thread the needle, is it worth it? So as Russ's biggest fan, I would say the one thing, if he would listen to me, that I would tell him is, look, man, love your energy. Love what you're doing. I tend to concentrate on what you do well, not what you don't. But if you could dial back your turnovers – like, I don't know how many he had last night, but the Chicago.
He led the team in turnovers.
In Chicago, he had 6. If you could, Russ, last night he had 7. Okay. So
7 turnovers. Way too many.
So 13 over. And, like, okay. So the team had 14. 7 of them were Russ. That's okay that your point guard leads your team in turnovers. He has the ball the most. But can you get that number to 3? Can you get that number to 3 for me? Just every time, you don't have to try and make the super. It's the same thing I said about Matthew Stafford. And Stafford's done it over the past 3 games. He, instead of trying to throw these unbelievable, like, thread-the-needle passes or to throw it up for Odell Beckham and hope he makes a play on a jump ball, Stafford will just take the sack or throw it out of bounds. I'd love to see Russ try that. And I say that as a guy who loves his energy and doesn't want to, you know, like, detract from it. But the turnovers.
But do you really have to tell Russell Westbrook turn the ball over less? I mean, that's well, to me, that's sort of something that you just know yourself.
Well, what
hey,
they
I'm turning
tell
the
him,
ball too much
no,
over.
What they tell him is, we want Russ to be Russ. We want you to be your ultra-aggressive self. We want you to play hard all the time because that's what the defense on the other end. Mace, he makes three or four plays a game where he will take the ball and go full speed, and the defense, by the time they figure out what he's doing, he just went through four guys and laid it in. And you'll look at that and go, wow, there's maybe two or three guys in the whole league, maybe him, Giannis, LeBron, that they could do that. They could take the whole defense on and get a layup out of it. But then the next time down, he'll do that play and then try and whip a pass from underneath the basket out to Carmelo at the three-point line.
Right.
And there's two defenders between where he releases the ball and where Carmelo is, and one of them snatches it. You know, in that case, just back it out. But it's a hard thing for him to do because he's so aggressive by default.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – it's a team that – I mean, the team just turns the ball over a lot.
Right.
I mean, Russ –
Last
more
night,
than anybody,
you'll live,
but the team does turn the ball over.
You'll
a lot.
Live with 14 turnovers. The number you really want to be at is 12. Three a quarter.
Yeah. And we're at I bet we're averaging 17 turnovers a game.
It is matter of fact, I'll look it up, I can tell you. But the problem with the Lakers turning it over too is that because they're not a great outside shooting team, it's hard to get those points back. For example, in Chicago, they were outscored points off of turnovers 29-5. And
that's a joke.
Right.
That's
so
a joke.
It just that's the brutal thing.
Well, I'm interested in let's take a couple calls on this. I mean, I'm trying to be positive for Christmas, right?
Right.
Trying to be positive.
Well, if the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. The question is, in a playoff series where LeBron and Russ and AD are going to play 40 minutes a game, let's assume we have AD.
Yeah.
I still feel like the Suns and the Warriors would be favored, but I would take my chances against anybody else. By the way, turnovers per game, the Lakers average 16, which is 28th.
There you go.
Yeah. So that number's got to come down.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. We'll get some calls in here. We got jump ball coming up for you. I learned something from Curb Your Enthusiasm that I want to expound upon.
Oh, we also have the Wheel of Fortune story, which is very good.
Oh, and the Wheel of Fortune story is coming up, too. Yeah, that's what a scam that is. All that stuff's coming up for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I would say that was a low light of the year, was the attempt to get racing stripes. Although Bergman got one, Jorge got both their racing stripes looked really good. Mine was kind of a mess.
Yours was a mess. Yours was. It was the diagonal weird. It took a little longer than everyone else's.
Yeah.
What was a mess? Yeah.
My racing stripe.
Oh yeah, but well, you may have to shave it off.
No. The other eyebrow.
No, I'm shaving off the one that they already goofed up.
Oh, stop it.
Although you won last night. Your fantasy team won last night. They came back.
Exactly. I had Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts.
Well, he put me way up in mythical money, too.
Oh, that's right.
Because I bet on the Eagles. But now, Mace, have you given any more thought to Bergman? What's the offer up to get Mason to? Mason loves days off more than anything. But he's also super competitive.
By the way, do you think I'm alone in that I'm the only one that likes days off more than anything?
You're the only one who took a vacation during football season.
Guess how many vacations I've taken this
Wait
year.
Wait a minute. I've taken exactly six shows off since August the 22nd.
That's since August. Yeah. Now, how many in the year?
But, Mace, you're the only one that took a vacation during football season.
Right.
So tomorrow...
Yeah,
you're
but I'm here. I'm here slugging away on the show every day while you're off gallivanting with the Lakers.
Right, but you've still missed, even with my Laker days, you've still missed more shows than me.
Oh, bullcrap!
No, you take more vacation than anyone at the station.
I think this is a bad rap now. I think this is now officially a bad rap.
Well, I mean, we could show you the numbers,
Let's get to the point.
Tomorrow, we're putting you in the ultimate Sophie's choice.
Yes.
You like days off more than anybody, and you're also very competitive. So I have offered you, all three of us have offered you, you were shut out in Mythical Money this year. You're going to finish last. You have zero.
Correct.
We've all offered you stacks of Mythical Money, which would put you not only right back in the game, but you would be tied with Bergman and within striking distance of Jorge and I, who are at the top. You could win Mythical Money, and you still get Friday off if you will work tomorrow. I'm already working tomorrow.
Yes.
Bergman's working tomorrow. Jorge's working tomorrow.
Yes.
And I don't stop working.
Those guys don't. Those
I take
guys
these
are
off unless I have to. Something really comes up, I take a day.
Right. So the question is, Bergman, what's the offer up to? How much Mythical Money would we give him?
$130,000 plus $100 to the kids.
Oh, yeah, for $100 for the kids. When a listener said, work tomorrow, they'll
do
make a donation to Children's Hospital. Which way are you leaning?
Leaning towards spending Christmas with my mom, Donna Mashonsky.
You still have an hour and a half to decide.
Playing the big mom card.
Well, you have an hour and a half to decide. So, yeah. And the offer could change.
Yeah,
it's like Deal or No Deal.
You never know. You never
exactly.
know. Hello?
Oh, the banker's calling.
Banker's calling.
Good to know.
Another 10,000.
See, I think if we called Donna, she would say stay home.
I don't think my mom gives a damn about Mythical Money. I'm just guessing. No. I saw my mom dressed up like Mrs. Claus today, not stepdad Leo dressed up like Santa, and my mom dressed up like Mrs. Claus, and they delivered kids gifts at their club.
I know how much your mom likes to give you a hard time.
Yes.
I think if we called your mom, she would tell you to work.
Can we do it, Mace?
No. Sure. Let's call her.
All right, I'm going to call her.
Let's ring up Donna.
Okay. All right, we'll see. All right, so what are we doing here? Are we doing the Wheel of Fortune thing here, or are we doing something else?
Yeah, let's do the Wheel of Fortune thing.
Okay, so Wheel of Fortune. I'm not a regular viewer, are you?
I am not, because I'm not 70 years old.
It's a very popular show.
Senior citizens, yes.
It's a very popular show. So there is apparently a rule on Wheel of Fortune that when you solve the puzzle, you have to read it all continuously. Like, so
correct.
If the puzzle is walk to the grocery store, I can't say walk to the grocery store. You know, you've got to be declarative. Except there's this one thing where they give you 10 seconds and you can kind of rapid fire guesses, but you still have to be declarative. With a car on the line, a new Audi, listen to what went down.
All right. What are you doing is the category. You have 10 seconds to try to talk it out. Good luck.
Choosing the right card.
No.
Choosing the right...
You know, this one's tough because you said all the right words, including the word, but as you know, it's got to be more or less continuous. We'll allow for a little pause, but not 4 or 5 seconds. I'm sorry, did a good job in getting it.
Okay.
Oh! I can't give you the prize. And
so
it was,
what do you think of Pat Sajak's on-the-spot ruling right there?
What a Scrooge Pat Sajak is. Seriously. They're giving away a new car, and that lady pauses for 3 seconds and she doesn't get her car?
Does this make a difference? He had an envelope sealed with the prize in it, so she didn't know she was competing for a car. But when he opened it, he said, you would have won a car.
But then why give her the 10 seconds to answer?
Why give her that window? Okay, so here's the thing. What people tune in to see is that you want happiness. You want victory. You want to see somebody win a car. I would always err on the other side.
Yeah.
Now, I debated this with a couple of people today. I'm not a regular viewer to Wheel. And they said, no, if they do it for her, they'd have to do it for everybody else. But I didn't think this was that egregious.
Everybody else, I mean, play it again. I mean, there's a slight pause there, but...
And let's open the phones on this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. What are Mason and I missing here? Why wouldn't you give her the car? Play it again, Jorge.
All right. What are you doing is the category. You have 10 seconds to try to talk it out. Good luck.
Choosing the right card? Choosing the right... word.
You know, this one's tough because you said all the right words.
He said she had 10 seconds to sound it out.
Right, you got 10 seconds to sound it out. I mean, there's a pause there while she's thinking about it.
The pause was 5 seconds exact. 5 seconds.
5 seconds away from a new car, and Pat Sajak is going to screw her over?
Yeah, I thought
there should be an investigation here. I think there's something
wrong.
Well,
you know,
the
internet's going crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We'll put that out there to you guys. 877-710-ESPN. If you think they did the right thing, I don't get it. I would have.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're a Wheel of Fortune producer or if you're Pat Sajak, 877-710-ESPN. I want answers.
I want the truth.
There should be like some sort of congressional investigation of this. This woman should get her car. What kind of car was it?
An Audi.
Audi should take advantage of this moment.
You're right.
Just
oh, you're
100%
right. That's a great idea.
Audi would get so much positive press for that.
Oh, that's what I would do if I were them. Matter of fact, like the car dealers, like if John Patterson had an Audi dealership, I bet you he would do it. Or if Mike Sullivan, LA car guy, I bet you he would do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those guys are looking for opportunities to, like, be generous.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a great idea. I wonder if it'll happen.
I wonder if it
will. If it happens, you should take partial credit. That's a great
idea. I will.
Idea.
I'll take full credit. Partial credit. I'll take full credit. Are you kidding me?
John doesn't have an Audi dealership, right?
He's no, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's... Hyundai, Mazda, okay. Acura.
Yeah.
But somebody out there. Take advantage. Jump on this.
You get national, worldwide publicity.
Exactly. And this is really bad press for Wheel of Fortune. Really bad PR for Wheel of Fortune. I think they should reverse themselves and give her the car anyway.
I do too.
They'd get a lot of positive press for that.
By the way, I've got Around the Horn on. Around the Horn's talking about this right now.
Are they really?
Like, so, yeah, this has gone. You know they're going to talk about it on Good Morning America and the Today Show and... You know, if somebody stepped up and gave this woman an Audi, they would be heroes.
I've lost respect for Pat Sajak.
Did you have any before this?
Yes, I did. He was a well-known Los Angeles weatherman who turned himself. He's an American
right,
success
story. You know how
story.
You can tell they should have given her the car?
Hmm.
When she slips it in at the very end where she goes, word, Vanna starts to applaud.
Ah.
Vanna White. So Vanna thought she should get the car.
Yeah, Vanna. I'm team Vanna.
Who wouldn't be, frankly?
Word.
You know.
This one's tough because you said all the right words, including the word, but as you know, it's got to be more or less continuous.
You said all the right words. He actually said you said all the right words.
I'm sorry, did a good job in getting it, but...
You
we
did a good job
in
getting
price.
It, but you win nothing.
Yeah, bah humbug. Bah humbug, Pat. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, is this a religious one, or is this a general one? Because Christmas songs break into two categories, right? You got like the religious ones that you hear at like midnight mass. Like when I was a kid, we used to go to midnight mass. Did you ever do that, John?
Yeah.
Midnight mass was a really cool thing. Now I just stay home and watch the Pope. I watch the Pope do midnight mass, and I also watch Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. What do you watch for New Year's Eve?
Well,
or do you go to a fancy party?
I don't have a game this year. Lakers play on New Year's Eve. I used to watch Dick Clark, and Ryan Seacrest has taken that over, right?
I think he's got that. Yeah, I think he took that over.
But most years I would go to a party, but I can't this year because I got a game.
I like the Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen thing because Andy's ridiculous, right? He's just a crazy person. And then he gets Anderson to do stupid stuff like doing shots. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. The guy you get news from, important, valuable news, is on TV doing shots. Yeah, right.
Well, they're friends, Anderson Cooper.
Yeah,
and
but
Andy
what's
Cohen
the hypocrisy? Like, would Walter Cronkite have done Rockin' New Year's Eve and done shots? No. Did Tom Brokaw ever do it? No. Peter Jennings? No. None of those real news people ever did it. Here's Anderson Cooper. Yeah, sure, I'll do shots. I'm doing body shots.
Yeah,
with
I don't
Andy
mind
Cohen
it.
Cohen on New Year's Eve.
I don't mind it. I think everybody cuts loose on New Year's Eve. What the heck?
By the way, very underrated body shots. Body shots are excellent.
Good to know.
You ever do body shots?
Yes.
They're fantastic. That's one of the ways, one of the great celebrations of my college years. Body shots.
Yes. Once did one off of a very serious anchor woman in San Diego, one of the highlights of my life. Now, did you ever do the shot where you, it's like a beer bong shot where you pour into the funnel and it goes down the tube?
Where they funnel liquor into you?
Yes.
Or the beer bong.
Yeah. Oh, well, beer bong, of
but
course.
But you do it with liquor? I wouldn't recommend it.
We used to do upside-down margarita shots.
Yeah.
Where you basically just pour tequila and triple sec into your mouth while your head's leaning back. That's a good way to celebrate.
About keg stands? Do keg stands?
Keg stands?
Do you think, do these things still happen, or because we're now more responsible with alcohol, supposedly,
in this
society?
Oh, they absolutely do happen.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
See, now it works because we know what it is.
Yeah, now we get it.
I still think
that's a way to ring in the new year, John. One time, you and me.
I still think that that lady got screwed out of that car.
Oh, there's. I mean, I
take
honestly,
Lillian. Hey, Greg, take Lillian on line 7 in Pacoima. Hey, Lillian, what are we missing here? Did that lady get screwed out of a car?
I think she deserves a car. I'm like floored and appalled. I'm a serious game show aholic. I love Wheel of Fortune. It's like generationally we watch it. I've watched it with my grandmother, my kids. By the way, my kids are on hold with me. So this is the first time you guys ever did like an adult type commentary with the beer pong stuff. And
good.
I almost didn't want them to listen, but
yes,
they're
good. Yes.
So
no,
shout out to Caleb, Freedom and Justice.
You know what I was going to say?
She needs a car.
Let me talk to your kids. Kids.
Oh, no. Don't, Lillian. Don't let him.
Do this stuff. Do not do any of the stuff that we. See, we learned our lesson.
Reinforce that.
Yeah, we do not do anything like this anymore. We learned our lesson. It was a great mistake. It was these things were like the great regrets of our lives.
Okay.
Don't make
blah,
these mistakes.
Blah, blah, blah. Now, Lillian, let me get back to the fact that you're a regular viewer of Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Have they done this to other contestants? Like, if another contestant doesn't get it right away or has a pause, is this a consistent way of handling the way she answered the question?
I have not seen the pause thing. I've seen it where, like, they might mispronounce a word. Like, the person might say, tomato, lettuce and cheese. And I'll be like, sorry, no, it's tomato.
Yeah, the one Sajak always tells Lillian is a guy said Abraham Binken. And Sajak said, now I'm going to give you a chance to repeat it, and I want you to enunciate clearly and say it very carefully. What is the answer? And the guy goes, Abraham Binken. He just had a he had a brain fart. But this woman seemed to me, that Lillian, to get it just under the gun. I think she got it.
Yeah, she got it. And you are so right by calling him Scrooge, because he didn't even take Vanna's cue. Like,
yeah,
he should always be looking at Vanna. She's clapping and smiling. You know, go with what Vanna's doing, because everybody loves her. So
yeah, Lillian, do you watch a lot of game shows?
I do. I watch pretty much all of them. And there's, like, my sister and I, we compare the hosts who kind of, like, low-key seem like they're happy that people didn't win. And he's usually not one of those, but he seemed almost glad to not give her that car. That's why I'm, like, totally shocked. Like, what's going on with
him? Yeah, he seems gleeful about the whole thing. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Hey, Lillian, Merry Christmas to you and the kids.
Thanks, you too. Oh, my gosh. And I'm with you. I do watch church on TV at night. I grew up Baptist in a Baptist tradition. We used to go to church at 5 a.m. on Christmas morning.
Wow.
Because you had to give God thanks for your presents before you even opened them. And then we'd meet as a family at the house, and, you know, then we'd all celebrate in that manner.
That's a beautiful thing.
I miss that. I totally miss that.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Lillian, for calling in.
You're welcome. Bless you guys.
Bless
you, Lillian. By the way, you know who is super religious, and you wouldn't think it necessarily?
I mean, super religious is okay. That's good.
No, I mean, gives.
You can't be too religious.
Gives glory to God on a regular basis, including last night.
Who dat?
Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You know, you would think he's kind of a trash talker. He's out there, you know.
Although, you know, actually Juan asked me last night, didn't he used to be a pro? Like, he used to talk more than he does now. Now he just breaks up pass plays.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw a tweet from him said, you know, everybody's saying, what do you think about playing on Tuesdays? He goes, any day I can give glory to God's a good day, and we won.
There you go.
So there it is.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to watch the Pope on Christmas Eve. Or on Christmas Eve. Yeah, I like watching the Pope. I think this is one of the better popes we've had. I think he's the best pope of our lifetime.
Let me ask you a really hard question.
Yeah.
Right. Matter, I'll save it. We'll do jump ball and I'll ask you at the top of the hour.
Cool. We'll do that. It is maybe the last show we do before Christmas. I'm still deciding. Still
Mason's
mulling.
Been offered a large bribe to work tomorrow. Very large. It involves donations to hospitals and mythical money.
Oh, stop with the donations to hospitals. I will match whatever or give whatever.
All right.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Appreciate it, Chris. All right, so ISO Joe is back. Joe Johnson has signed a 10-day contract with the Boston Celtics at 40 years young. Joe hasn't played in a game since 2018, but did win two MVPs while with the Big Three. It's O'Shea's league that they were doing. Who would you think is the next forgotten player to make a comeback with these hardship exemptions, John?
It's Jamal Crawford. I think some team should sign Jamal. And by the way, that may be the one kind of good thing that's coming out of all this pandemic stuff. Is that some guys who thought they were out of the league are all coming back and getting an opportunity. Like, Isaiah Thomas wasn't very good last night, but I'm glad to see that he's getting a chance to come back into the league. And ISO Joe can still score. Matter of fact, he started his career with the Celtics. So I think that let's put it this way. Doc Rivers said last night that his phone's been ringing off the hook from old guys that want to come back into the league, to which he always responds, well, you can't play. You're not any good, but I think everybody's trying to get back into the league, so you're going to see a lot of names like that. like Joe Johnson's.
So here's the thing. I was in the can, so I didn't really get to hear the whole question, but I will say...
Glad you're back.
I am completely in favor of old guys getting a chance to revive their careers, even if it's only for a short period of time. I think you talked about Joe Johnson, Isaiah Thomas. I heard Lance Stevenson signed a deal. Hey, it's the old guys getting a chance to play again.
Greg asked me who I thought would be next, and I said Jamal Crawford.
What about Meta World Peace?
He was on the set at Spectrum last week. I don't know if he's in basketball shape, but he could guard somebody.
Oh, hell yes, he could.
Lakers need defense.
Yes, they do. Yeah, but I think it's cool these guys are coming back. All right, next question.
So I want to take a trip after the Super Bowl, and I'm looking to book kind of in the now-ish time. I want to go somewhere that isn't too far, that I won't lose a whole day traveling, mm-hmm. but out of the country if possible, thinking about 4 to 5 days tops. Mm-hmm. Where is the best place for me to go?
Well, Mason might have just gone there. Costa Rica is the new hot spot, and Mason, it's affordable, right?
It is affordable. Like, you know, we used to go to Hawaii a lot, and Hawaii has gotten like crazy expensive. And it's only a 5-hour flight to Costa Rica. You can do beach stuff, you know, like if you're a surfer, it's awesome. If you want to spend time at the beach, it's perfect. If you want to go to the volcanoes, there are volcanoes all over Costa Rica, and there's hot water, mineral springs, zip lining, all that stuff. I really can envision a time, not in the near future, but at some point in my life, where I spend part of my year in Costa Rica every year. I absolutely love it. I love the Costa Rican people are fantastic, unbelievably friendly. Everybody speaks English. Great, great spot. So I would recommend Costa Rica.
Greg, I'll give you one more.
Okay.
You ever been to Cabo San Lucas?
Long, long, long time ago.
It's a little more expensive than Costa Rica, but it's quicker. You can get there in a couple hours. You can fly direct from LAX. A lot of the resorts will pick you up at the airport and just bring you to the resort, and you don't need a car. You get everything you need right there at the resort, and you can camp out for the 4 or 5 days that you want to be there. You're on the beach. You're at the pool. If you want to golf, you can golf. That's another thing to look into.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I feel like with Costa Rica, though, I was kind of looking it up, and it didn't have a lot of direct flights.
No, there are direct flights.
Mason got one.
Yeah, there's direct flights. United and Alaska fly there direct every day.
Okay. Very nice. Okay. I will keep both of those in mind. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much. Excellent. All right, Jorge, your turn.
Okay, so we're 9 days away from the new year. How do you feel about New Year resolutions?
Mason's turning over his whole... You're rebooting your life, right, Mason?
Rebooting my entire life. I've already done it.
Yeah, Jorge, I never make them because when I used to make them, I never kept them. And they also happen right in the middle of Lakers season, so I'm already into a routine. So I haven't made a New Year's resolution in probably 4 years. But how about you? Do you make them, Jorge?
Oh, no, I don't. I stopped making them just like you. I would make them, and not even 2 months in the year, I would stop. You know,
here's my theory on New Year's resolutions. If you say, I'm going to start January 3rd, it's not going to work. I started on December the 11th. So I'm already in my New Year's resolution time. Less Puttyesca.
Somewhat less.
Somewhat less Puttyesca and more gym and more eating healthy. So I'm like, I'm definitely rebooting. So I completely support it. Just don't start on January 3rd because if you're putting too much pressure on you. Like I am. Here's the other thing. Okay, so I'm going to start eating healthy on Monday, January 3rd. That means you're going to eat like hell up until that. You're actually going to stuff your face because you know January the 3rd is coming up. So don't start on like Monday, January. Go ahead and get started now. Try to moderate yourself during the holidays. Try to eat a little bit less so you don't have the pressure of doing something on the first of the year.
So I've got a friend, Jorge, that owns a company called DumbbellMan.com. My buddy Michael Garvey.
Oh, Garve. Yeah, you've talked
Yeah,
to
I've turned you, Mace, you bought some him. Stuff from him. So if you ever need like home fitness equipment, you can go to his website. He's loaded. He normally deals with like hotels and gyms, but he'll sell individually to you if you want fitness equipment. And he says that around this time every year, people – you know, really go for it. And they order a bunch of equipment, and a lot of times they don't stick with it. So maybe go to a gym, and now I would think, Mace, a home gym would be preferred to going to the gym because if you go to a gym, you got to wear a mask, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the gym right now, you've got to wear a mask, plus there's plexiglass up between every machine,
so go to dumbbellman.com and get the stuff sent to your house, and then you can start working out.
So you know how team Twitter accounts always tweet out the score of the game finals? Win or lose, doesn't matter. Arizona Wildcat football even tweeted out one time that they lost 70-7 to rival Arizona State last year.
Yeah.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals lost to the Lions this last weekend, and the team Twitter account has refused to post the final score. People are commenting on every new post that comes over the last 3 days. Post the final score, cowards. Did the Cardinals Twitter team screw up here?
No, why would you post things that are going to anger your fan base? Like, hey, we came out on the short end of this one, but next week we're back at it in Minnesota at 10 a.m. You don't have to, if I lost 70-7, Mace, I wouldn't post it.
Yeah, I would not post it either. I mean, I'm like a glass half full guy. I would say, I would just show, what I would do is I tweet out a GIF of us scoring that touchdown. And say, great moment from
that's funny.
From Sunday. Great moment from Sunday. It's us scoring that touchdown. What about you, Bergman? You think it's a mistake?
Yeah. I mean, every team, we are the Lakers station, and we're not the Lakers Twitter account, but
we
are the Lakers station.
We don't play the bad moments.
No, but we put up the final score. Win or lose, we put up the final score. Every team that you can look at their Twitter accounts, most teams put
for and against. Yeah, but it's not like a hard and fast rule.
No, it's not a hard and fast rule. But you can't. But if you always do it, you should do both sides. If you always put the win, you split the loss.
I'd be a smart ass. If I lost 70-7, I would post my one touchdown.
Post the one touchdown.
Sure.
Hey, did you see this?
Post that. And I say, but we lost 70-7.
That would have a chance to go viral. People would talk about that. Nobody's going to talk if you, hey, we lost 70-7.
The guys from Barstool are talking all about this. They're going nuts over the Cardinals Twitter team.
What are they saying?
They're making it a whole agenda to go after the Cardinals Twitter account. It's pretty funny. But that's it.
You want to get
You know what's funny? You throw stuff out there, and then you never actually have an opinion yourself.
You never ask me my opinion. I always have an opinion on all of them.
We always ask you your opinion.
And
what are you talking about?
I will give my opinion on anything that you ask me about anything. I told you who I didn't like in my family. You think I'm not going to answer a question about the Twitter account?
You're going to get in trouble for that.
No, actually, that took some...
Yeah, your dad is online too. He's not happy.
Yeah, he's probably not happy. But let's not talk about it again.
Yeah. Well, you really didn't call out your dad. You called out his wife. So that was.
Let's just keep going. Hopefully they're listening.
What's next, Greg?
That's the end of it. Let's go to break.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
All right.
Puta
yes! Ireland, one night. You, me, Puta Yeska.
As long as it's edibles, I'm in.
Just one
you
night.
You want to get high?
And we have to do it here so I don't have to go anywhere after.
Oh, well, yeah. Let's do it here. We'll do it on a podcast like Elon Musk always does.
I'm sure that's a good
He, like, does
move.
A podcast and drops acid.
Hey,
and
you guys should just redo the interviews each other. Interview each other, but high.
But stoned.
The day after my Laker career is over, I'm in.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. We've got another hour of our Christmas spectacular coming up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.